Welcome to today's podcast, focusing on sustainability issues within the fashion industry. Our hosts today are Benjamin Bonrose and Sofia Bucke. Today we're delving into the various challenges facing the textile industry, known for its significant environmental impact. From water pollution to excessive chemical usage and alarming greenhouse gas emissions, the environmental toll of textile production is undeniable. But it's not just about the environment. Labor rights violations persist, with workers enduring substandard conditions and inadequate wages. This ethical dilemma has sparked calls for improved labor standards and a closer scrutiny of industry practices. Adding to the mix is the phenomenon of fast fashion. The relentless pursuit of cheap, quickly produced clothing has led to overproduction, massive waste generation, and unsustainable practices that harm both product quality and worker well-being. As awareness about these issues has become more widely spread, there is a push for the fashion and textile industry to adopt more sustainable practices. Clearly, there's a lot to unpack here. Fortunately, there are researchers like Anna Harre from Aalto University who are investigating sustainable transitions in the textile industry.
All right. So, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself, firstly?
Yes. So, my name is Anna Harre, and I'm at the moment, I'm still doing my PhD on just transition to sustainable textile systems. I am just about to finish my PhD, hopefully, and started actually today already a postdoc position at Aalto University. I'm continuing with sustainability issues, but mainly related to the forest sector, whereas for the past 10 years or so, I've been looking at sustainability issues in the textile industry. I've mainly been interested in social sustainability of the textile industry, and especially of the transition to a circular economy and the social sustainability aspects of that, but I'm also interested in the environmental issues related to the textile industry.
All right, yeah. Interesting. Well then, let's get started with the questions for the interview then. The first one, Anna, you looked into questions of just transition and the social impacts of circular economy in the textile industry. Can you tell us how you became interested in these topics?
That's a very good question. I guess it all started many, many years ago, I think, when I was doing an exchange from high school in Brazil. And I was from a very small city, a small agricultural, a village, where there's not many issues with social inequality or environmental pollution, etc. And going to Brazil for 1 year when I was 17 really sort of opened my eyes to the injustices there are in the world, and the social and economical inequality and environmental pollution there is, because these things are very visible in Brazil. And that's sort of how I knew that I want to spend my career somehow trying to make the world a better place, because I felt very sort of strongly after that year. And then I went to university to study development studies to understand sort of how we could decrease inequality. And actually, during university, learned about several negative effects and negatives that companies do in the world, and started sort of be more interested in companies and how through sort of companies we could change the world for better. But I guess that would be
yeah. That is quite a journey to your interest in the topic.
Yeah,
very interesting to learn about. Well, the second question then. The fashion industry has doubled its production in the last 15 years, and 73% of the 53 million tons of clothing generated each year are incinerated or landfilled. We already have enough clothes in existence to dress the world for the next 6 generations or 100 years. Considering this, can the clothes industry be considered sustainable in any way?
This is a very good and a very difficult question, and I would say it all depends on how you define sort of what is sustainable and what is that. Like, if we look at this question from an environmental viewpoint, I guess one could say that no, the textile industry is not very sustainable, as it does quite a lot of harm at the moment. It creates a lot of pollution. I guess, depending on the research, it's about 6 to 10% of global emissions come from the textile industry. It creates a lot of sort of waste and pollution and water issues, etc. So, thinking that we already have so many clothes at the moment that are produced that are ready, if we could circulate them for all and then just kind of stop the industry altogether, of course that could be like this utopian dream of a more sustainable world and a sustainable textile industry where textile industry actually wouldn't exist. So I guess the most sustainable textile industry in the environmental sense would be one where it doesn't exist. But then we could, for example, all the cotton fields, we could turn into forests full of wildlife, or we could stop using oil for polyester clothes, etc. So there would be huge, huge benefits if we would just use the clothes we already have. But I guess this is sort of a very utopian vision, and I don't think this is going to happen in the short term, at least. But also that would have huge effects if you think socially. At the moment, the textile industry creates millions and hundreds of millions of jobs for people, from cotton fields to textile factories to retail sales. So this would have a huge effect, at least would entail a lot of social harm in the short term, at least. That being said, I guess if you think about if textile industry can be sustainable at all, I think this is a very, very interesting sort of philosophical question, I guess. Yeah, it all boils down to sort of think what is sustainable. If we think any industry will always have an effect on the environment and on people if it uses any materials or any industry. I can't think of any industry at the moment that wouldn't do some harm for the environment. So I guess it's just a question of how much harm it does. And what's going on at the moment in the textile industry is it is very much trying to minimize the harm it does. But of course, it will do harm also in the future, unless we sort of would be able to, as long as we buy clothes, be they new, recycled, or secondhand, it will always have some sort of impact. But there are like more sustainable elements and less sustainable elements in it. Completely sustainable, I don't know if any industry can ever be, at least if you have a very, depends on how you define sustainable, of course. I don't know if that makes sense. Sorry, it's a
no, it did.
Question.
It did. I think it did, at least. Off to the next one then. In your research, from simplistic to systemic sustainability in the textile and fashion industry, which was one of your papers, you looked into different fibers and their use in the textile industry. There's a Finnish fiber innovation called IonCell that was developed at Aalto University in collaboration with the University of Helsinki. And it uses a technology in which cellulose is dissolved in ionic liquid and spun into fibers. And it can also be used in with cotton waste fabric, cotton / polyester, blend fabrics, cardboard and old newsprints to produce long-lasting fiber fabrics. Do you think this technique has any downsides, or does this have any downsides?
That is actually one of your only questions that I'm not so very sure about, because I haven't really looked into IonCell that much. In general, there's a lot of sort of innovations going around new textile fibers in the textile industry, and I would be very critical sort of towards them. They can have many, many good sides and indeed can provide many environmental and even social benefits, but not sort of all new innovations.
nation that's claimed sustainable is actually sustainable. Like as an example, we can some new textile fibers, for example, use cellulose from forests in Brazil, from I don't remember which trees, but so they're importing trees from Brazil, which of course can be a good thing. And but also it depends very much on how the process of cultivation is done in Brazil, whether it's of course, if it's a virgin Amazon forest, and that's a bad thing, or if it's like huge plantations where they don't, the workers' rights are not very good, then that can also be another very good thing. So even not all fiber that's termed or sort of claimed as to be sustainable is sustainable. So we should be very critical sort of to these new fibers. They can provide a lot of benefits, but automatically, by default, they might have also negative sides.
Okay, right. Yeah, my point with the question was that it sounded a little bit like idealistic in a way, and I didn't quite get if there were any like downsides to it. And I tried checking it out on the website, the RyanCell website, but I couldn't really understand the whole thing. But we'll leave that question to further research to someone else.
Yeah, I think it should be research. I think it's still a very novel innovation, so there's not much maybe research on it. There's probably some life cycle analysis assessment, but maybe it should be more research. And later on, maybe I can say a bit about recycling in general and about its benefits and downsides, so we can sort of get back into that question.
Okay, perfect. Okay. The next one then, the circular economy, which has gained a lot of interest lately, does using post-consumer textile waste have a potential in making the clothing industry more sustainable in the future? What would be required to increase the use of post-consumer textile waste in the production of new clothes?
Yes, I think definitely using post-consumer waste to produce new textiles has the potential to make the industry more sustainable. Now, we should, on a broader scale, move towards using as little virgin materials as possible and using more and more materials that are made from recycled sources. For example, recycling our old clothes instead of throwing them to the garbage sites or burning them for energy is much more beneficial if we recycle them into new clothes. Even though I would say recycling is very needed, and in the future I would like to see a future where all clothes after they have after the consumers have used them and they can't be reused anymore or they can't be resold anymore, they are recycled like everything. And I hope that the industry is going towards that, but slowly. But that being said, recycling should be only the last step. If we think about circular economy, it's much more than recycling, and it should be about much more than recycling. Circular economy, as a broader term, sort of can include and should include also other processes for textiles. It should include using quality textiles for longer. When one person can't use them anymore, if it doesn't fit or something, they could be resold and reused by someone else. And then when the textile item, for example, your t-shirt, reaches the very end of its life, when it really can't be used anymore, it has holes everywhere and something, only then should it be put into the recycling bin and recycled for new virgin materials. Because also the recycling processes that use at the moment, they also use a lot of energy and they also generate generate quite a bit of emissions, depending on the process of recycling. But recycling is not also, it's not emission free, it's not completely environmentally sustainable, because it also produces waste and takes up energy and produces emissions. So we, for example, did at LUT, we did like this life cycle assessment on jeans, looking at like how the circular economy affects CO2 emissions. And we looked at jeans and sort of compared different scenarios of jeans. One scenario was where you just use your jeans and then you throw them to the garbage and it's burned for energy. One scenario was where you use the jeans you have for longer, so you don't buy new, you don't do it, you just use them for longer or as long as you can. The other scenario was you sell your shoes and someone else buys them, so it's a second-hand use, and then recycling. And then we actually had rental also there. And what we noticed in that study was that recycling actually, when it comes to CO2 emissions, is not much better than throwing your jeans in the garbage and burning them as energy, burning them to gain energy. So it was only slightly better in terms of CO2 emissions to recycle them. Now this was due to the fact that in our study, the places where we looked at it, it takes up quite a bit of bit of energy to recycle. But then again, these jeans were made of cotton, and cotton cultivation doesn't produce very much CO2 emissions. So then, if you replace cotton cultivation with recycling, it doesn't save up sort of so much emissions in a sense. So you don't save so much emissions by recycling, because the virgin material production doesn't produce so much emissions in the first place. So the benefits of recycling really depend on what you're substituting. So for example, if we would have looked at in that study, water footprint, water consumption, cotton uses a lot of water. So if we recycle, cotton cultivation uses up a lot of water. So if we recycle those jeans and use up that recycled material for new jeans, and that means we don't have to cultivate more cotton, then recycling process uses very little water, but cotton cultivation uses a lot of water. So when we replace virgin cotton cultivation, we save a lot of water. So also, the benefits of recycling really depends on what you look at. Do you look at emissions? Do you look at water consumption? Do you look at biodiversity impacts? What you look at, and what are you substituting? What is the sort of fiber and the virgin material you are substituting, and what were the impacts of that virgin fiber, and how you make the recycling? Do you make it with fossil fuels? Is the energy you use, I mean, is it comes does it come from coal plant? Does it come from renewable energy, etc.? So it all sort of depends what are the benefits of recycling. Okay, so summarizing, we also noticed that it's always better to, first of all, reduce. So use your clothing as long as you can. Not do anything with it, absolutely nothing. Just use the ones you already have. The second best is if you need to, let's say, if you need to get new jeans, buy secondhand. That doesn't involve so much processing. So because it's different kinds of processing and logistics always takes up, always takes energy and produces some sort of pollution. So as we should sort of use clothing in their original form as much as possible and as long as possible. And then at the end, but at the end, we can recycle. Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry.
Thank you for an interesting answer.
Yeah, that
So
was very
then
insightful.
maybe focusing more on the secondhand clothes part, as you already mentioned in your previous answer. So secondhand clothing is also something that has been gaining a lot of popularity recently. And so do you think, are there any proven environmental implications of the growing popularity of secondhand clothing? Or is it just like contributing to an overall increase of clothing consumption?
Yes, this is a very good question. Like secondhand, as I said, secondhand should be preferred first over recycling. But of course, the environmental benefits of secondhand also, it depends. It depends mainly on whether you are buying secondhand, if you are substituting buying new clothes. So often when people buy secondhand, it's just sort of for fun shopping, and people buy maybe things that they might not even need, and then they go and buy new stuff anyways. So in there, the buying the secondhand doesn't really replace buying new. Then you're just buying secondhand in addition to new clothing, and then the environmental benefits of secondhand clothing become much less. And unfortunately, research has noted that oftentimes people do not substitute buying virgin products with buying secondhand. So it's they still buy virgin products even though they buy secondhand also. And this is just, this is just increased consumption then, and will not have such environmental benefits. So definitely what we should aim for in the best case scenario is that the secondhand, that first of all, when we produce in the first place, we produce quality clothing that can last for a long, long time and can be used by multiple owners. For example, it stays good and stays good quality. So when people go and buy secondhand, it's comparable sort of to virgin product quality, sort of. So it's not just some, I don't know, bad smelling hippie stuff, but but actually quality good clothes even when bought secondhand. But this needs all our clothing to be really good quality in the first place. I guess that would be my answer.
I completely agree with you. Then let's move on to some of the more like social sustainability issues in the textile and fashion industry. So the textile production is by nature global, and many of the factories that produce clothes are in countries like Vietnam, Bangladesh, and Ethiopia, where workers face issues such as insufficient workers' rights. Can we make textile production more sustainable by moving the production to Finland, or at least to Europe? Or what will be the consequences for the global south and the textile industry workers?
Yeah, this is a very, very good question, I think. In some ways, yes, we can make the industry more sustainable if we move the production to Europe or to Finland. Once again, in some ways, it can be more sustainable. Now, in the European Union, for example, we have legislation that can better protect workers and that can better protect the environment. Even though, even inside Europe, especially in southern countries such as Italy and Eastern European countries, research has noted that there are workers' rights violations also within Europe. So it's not completely assured that if you buy a product made in Europe, that it would be made ethically. But it's the chances of it being made in a more sustainable way are higher. But of course, this brings the question, if we would move all production to Finland or Europe, then what happens to the production countries? Now, one could argue that it's not very fair that first we produce massive amounts of clothing in production countries. They have their industry set up. It's a huge employer in the country. It has caused also many environmental negativities, and the wages have been quite low for many workers, meaning that the societies where the production happens haven't been able to maybe build better futures for the society. If the workers don't get enough wages, they're maybe not able to save. Maybe they can't still send their kids to school, etc. So the sort of benefits have not maybe trickled down to the society enough, to these production country societies. But we have been producing clothes there for a long, long time, causing also negatives. And then we would, if we would relocate sort of all of a sudden to Europe and leave them in a very vulnerable position, I don't think that's very fair. At the very minimum, I think if companies think about relocation to Europe, they should do it in a very sort of planned way and let the production partners in the countries know well in advance, pay living wages and good prices for the producers and the workers now, so they can be ready for future changes. Maybe they can put some savings or something if they are unemployed. Like now, if we just cut production, you know, they're completely, I would argue, millions of workers will be left left hanging, or how do you say it in English, sort of tyhjän päälle. They would left
like would be left yeah.
like on empty. Yeah, they would be left yeah. in very vulnerable positions, because many times also these production countries do not have social security. They might not have unemployment benefits. They might not have opportunities for the workers to reeducate themselves for other professions. So it's the countries where majority of our clothing are made of are very sort of vulnerable and not very resilient countries. So when changes happen abruptly, the security networks don't really work. So that's why it's. I'm not saying we shouldn't bring any production back to Europe, but if it's done, it should be done with good planning ahead. Not abruptly communicating with the production partners, perhaps even compensating somehow. I don't know, having a fund for re-education for the workers or something. But I guess this is a rather radical proposition, because often, you know, of course, in the modern capitalist societies, when brands do something, they don't really consult the product producing partners in supply chains, because they're not officially connected, because it's often a different company, you know, and they're not officially responsible for the changes happening in the supply chain. So it's, but I think the industry should work towards sort of more responsibility for your production partners and for your workers, and more sort of ahead planning and doing it together. Yeah,
I think that's really good advices and recommendations. Then the next question would be that it would seem that third party verification is more reliable than in houses. And a good case example would be that H&M and their Conscious Choice products, which is their own verification of sustainability. So should there be stricter standard that have to come from third party actors and be verified by them as well? And would this come with its own problems?
Yes, I think that's a very, very good question. I guess, like, in essence, I think there are many, many problems with standards and certificates, be they in-house or by third parties, unfortunately. But of course, it's always better that you have some sort of neutral third party looking into the supply chain instead of just doing it yourself, even though I think that's needed also. It's very needed that the companies and the brands who buy from, let's say, countries like India and Bangladesh also do go there and visit themselves to see the factories and see what it's like, to just get an understanding of the issues there. But you do need some third-party verification mechanisms. But unfortunately, research has noted that a lot, even if it's third-party verification mechanisms, certifications, there's a lot of fraud involved, and the monitoring is sort of, it's just not good enough quality. Even if it's third-party, it's often then so that the buyer company pays the third party, and then the third party is sort of in a business relationship with the buyer company, and they're at the same time they should be monitoring the rights. So it's kind of, it is, the business relationships may be askew and lower the credibility of these certification schemes somehow. But then, of course, there are completely like third-party certification schemes that maybe don't get their money from the buyers, but even these suffer from problems. Like, I guess one of the main issues, then I would say that it's not necessarily sort of the how strict the criteria is, although the criteria should be stricter. For example, oftentimes they don't demand a living wage and only demand like a minimum wage or something, which is often inadequate for or decent living in many of these production countries. But it's but it's still not all in all only about the stricter standards, but somehow about I would say here also doing it together with the producers, because often the producers I've talked to also in India, the issues they faced was that they weren't really being asked, or they weren't really being, you know, these certifications and all these standards and everything, they aren't done in cooperation with them. So it's just the brands or the buyers who come in, they say, do this, do that. Or otherwise we'll stop buying from you. And by the way, we're not paying you anymore to do this. So what they were saying, and this was what the producers were saying themselves, is that we don't have the money to do this. Okay, you come in with all these huge requests, but we don't have money to do this. It doesn't really fit our culture at all. You're just coming here and telling us what to do. So they were quite sort of upset about the whole monitoring certification scheme and mechanism of CSR, so to speak. And here then also, I would say one of the key issues is to talk to the producers, maybe plan some of these criteria together with them, even make some compromises, and critically to pay more for certified products. Make sure the purchasing practices are such that they allow for improving workers' rights or the environment. If at the same time as buyers are demanding stricter standards and stricter this and that, they're not willing to pay more for the products, then the changes will most likely not happen, because the producers might not have the incentive to change, or they don't just have the means to pay more. If the buyers say pay more for your workers, but they are not willing to pay more, then it's not maybe, it just won't work. Now, this is of course not, and I'm not trying to say that there are some really good brands out there who are working with the producers and paying more, etc. But I guess the big picture still, unfortunately, is that the producers feel they don't get, they just get told, but not actually given help or listened to what they would, or how they would like to do it, or what they would like to do. So there's this whole sort of power imbalance, I guess. And I guess before we sort of also take seriously the demands from the producers, stricter standards or stricter criteria won't solve the problem.
Yeah, thank you. And then it's time for the final question. So maybe like just as a summary. So based on your research, what are issues that would need to change at the very minimum to make textile industry more sustainable?
It's clothing, but more money for workers. I guess that would be my less all in all, less production. And more money for those who make the clothes. Yeah, yes. As a short sentence, that would be it.
I think that's a good, like a clear conclusion for
that.
So thank you, Anna, so much for participating in the podcast and taking your time. We're so happy and glad that you shared your insights and knowledge about the topic. And yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you. This was really insightful and really interesting to learn about. It was really interesting to learn from someone who actually does this. I mean, ourselves, we just studied, but actually do the research is really interesting to learn about.